ॐ अज्ञानदमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमोम् विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदन्त स्वामीति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पश्चात्यदिशतारिणे वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्या नाम्ने गौरतिशे नमः। आजानुलम्बितभुजौ कनकावदातौ सङ्कीर्तनैकपितरौ कमलायुतक्षौ विश्वम्भरौ द्विजभरौ जुगधर्मपालौ वन्दे जगत्प्रियकरौ करुणावतारौ अनार्पितचरिं चिरात् करुणयावतीर्णकलौ समार्पयितुमुन्नतमुज्ज्वलरसां स्वभक्तिश्रियम्। हरिः पुरटसुन्दरद्युतिकदम्बसन्दीपित सदा हृदयकन्दरे स्फुरतु वशचिनन्दन। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमास्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 25 द कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स ऑफ किंग पुरंजना टेक्स्ट नंबर 31। तदाननं शुभ्रसुतारलोचनं तदाननं शुभ्रसुतारलोचनं व्यालं विनीलालकवृन्दसंवृतम् व्यालं विनीलालकवृन्दसंवृतम् उन्नीय मे दर्शय वल्गुवाचकम् उन्नीय मे दर्शय वल्गुवाचकम् जद्व्रीडया नाभिमुखं शुचिस्मिते जद्व्रीडया नाभिमुखं शुचिस्मिते तदाननं शुभ्रसुतारलोचनम् व्यालं विनीलालकवृन्दसंवृतम् उन्नीय मे दर्शय वल्गुवाचकम् जद्व्रीडया नाभिमुखं शुचिस्मिते तदाननं शुभ्रसुतारलोचनम् व्यालं विनीलालकवृन्दसंवृतम् उन्नीय मे दर्शय वल्गुवाचकम् जद्व्रीडया नाभिमुखं शुचिस्मिते तदाननं शुभ्रसुतारलोचनम् व्यालं विनीलालकवृन्दसंवृतम् उन्नीय मे दर्शय वल्गुवाचकम् तदाननं शुभ्रसुतारलोचनम् व्यालं विनीलालकवृन्दसंवृतम् उन्नीय मे दर्शय वल्गुवाचकम् जद्व्रीडया नाभिमुखं शुचिस्मिते मतजिस् तदाननं शुभ्रसुतारलोचनम् व्यालं विनीलालकवृन्दसंवृतम् उन्नीयमे दर्शय गौरुवाचकम्। जद्रीडयानाभिमुखं शुचिस्मिते Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki Tvat Yar Ananam Face Subhru Having nice eyebrows Sutara With nice pupils Lochanam Eyes Vyalambi Scattered Nila 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 Bluish Alakabrinda By locks of hair Samritam Surrounded Unniya Having raised Me Unto me Darsaya so Balgubachakam having words very sweet to hear Yad which face Bridaya by shyness No not Abhimukham face to face Suchismite, O woman with lovely smiles. Translation. My dear girl, your face is so beautiful with your nice eyebrows and eyes and with your bluish hair scattered about. In addition, very sweet sounds are coming from your mouth. Nonetheless, You are so covered with shyness that you do not see me face to face. I therefore request you, my dear girl, to smile and kindly raise your head to see me. Purport. Such a speech is typical of a living entity attracted by the opposite sex. This is called bewilderment. Occasioned by becoming conditioned by material nature. When thus attracted by the beauty of the material energy, one becomes very eager to enjoy. This is elaborately described in this instance of Puranjana's becoming attracted by the beautiful woman. In conditional life, The living entity is attracted by a face, eyebrows or eyes, a voice or anything. In short, everything becomes attractive. When a man or a woman is attracted by the opposite sex, it does not matter whether the opposite sex is beautiful or not. The lover sees everything beautiful in the face of the beloved. And thus becomes attracted. This attraction causes the living entity to fall down in this material world. This is described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text number 27. Ichha dvesha samuthena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham swargi janti parantapa. O son of Bharata, Arjuna, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. This condition of life is called avidya. Opposed to this vidya is real. Opposite to this avidya is real knowledge. Sri Upanishad distinguishes between vidya and avidya, knowledge and ignorance. By avidya, ignorance, one becomes conditioned, and by vidya, knowledge, one becomes liberated. Puranjana admits herein that he is attracted by avidya. Now he wishes to see the complete feature of avidya and so requests the girl to raise her head so that he can see her face to face. He thus wishes to see the various features that make avidya attractive. Hare Krishna. So we have been listening to this allegorical description by Narad Muni. This is a very interesting way to approach some elevated personality when it comes to correct them. We know Narad Muni, definitely he is a very highly elevated soul, pure devotee of the Lord. At the same time, he is approaching a king. Normally, king have a lot of opulence with them, prestige, power. So definitely their false ego will be very high. So when they need correction, so methods should be adapted perfectly. Even though Narad Muni is a pure devotee of the Lord, he can directly go and chastise the king, saying, "Oh, my dear king, what you are doing? Why are you so engrossed in these materialistic activities? Why are you hoping for sense gratification more and more when these are temporary in this world?" In fact, Narad Muni, instead of directly telling him, he is taking an indirect path. What is that indirect path? He is giving an allegorical description where he is not directly hitting him, but he is communicating the message to the king. King is an intelligent person. He can definitely understand when Narad Muni is speaking allegorically. So, in course of Narad Muni's speech, he comes to a point where he gives the description of this conditioned soul who is attracted to the material world. And especially in this particular verse, it is explained, that section of Bhagavad Gita where Krishna explains, Dhyayato Vishayan Kamsa Sangaste Supajayate Sangat Sangjayate Kama Kama Krodha Vijayate Krodhat Bhavati Sammoha. This section, Sammoha, means while contemplating the objects of the senses, what happens? Dhyayato Vishayan Kamsa Sangaste Supajayate. Association develops, to have the association of the sense objects develops in mind. Then finally it is coming to a point when he is totally bewildered. Krodhat bhavati sammoha. When his lusty desires are not being fulfilled, he is upset, he is angry. When he is angry, what happens? Krodhat bhavati sammoha. Bewilderment of memory. So now, Srila Prabhupada, in his first sentence, he is making this point. Such a speech is typical of a living entity attracted by the opposite sex. This is called bewilderment occasioned by becoming conditioned by material nature. So now this Puranjana, conditioned living entity, his memory is lost. He is bewildered. He does not know what to do in this condition. Since he is bewildered, so in the state of bewilderment, you can see what kind of speech he is speaking about. What is he saying? My dear girl, your face is so beautiful with your nice eyebrows and eyes and with your bluish hair scattered about. Here it is said that in the last part of the verse, Jadvridayana bhimukham suchismite. He is addressing the girl. He is saying, "Oh, suchismite." So Prabhupada translates this, O women with lovely smiles. In Sanskrit, Suchismite, it has a very particular indication. Actually, Sanskrit is a very, very relishable and expressive language. When you use a particular word, that particular word carries a particular meaning. So here, he could address him in a different way. Why did he choose this word of Suchismite? When he said Suchismite means, he is saying, Suchi means here in this context, it is explained, actually Sanskrit word, one word has many different varieties of meaning. In this particular context, Suchi means Kama Santaptanam Santikaram. Those who are afflicted by lusty desires, that will be santikaram. That will get some sort of enjoyment or satisfaction, excitement. So that kind of smita means smile. So that smile which Puranjana is accepting from that girl, that smile is going to give excitement to his kama. In fact, he is saying santikaram. Santikaram means he will attain peace, but in actuality it is not peace. But that kind of smile is going to create excitement in him. That's why he is saying, addressing, oh Suchismite, oh woman with lovely smiles. That's why Srila Prabhupada translates like this, with lovely smiles. And what else he says? Suchismite, then he gives so many other glorification. He says, Subhru, means your eyebrows are very nice. Sutara lochanam, your pupils are also very nice. Your eye is very beautiful. And what he says? Vyalambi nila lakabrinda samritam. And your bluish hair is very long. Bluish hair is scattered about. And it gives a very beautiful appearance to your face. So, what do you want? So he is saying that Subhru Sutara Lochanam Vyalambi Nilalaka Vrinda Samritam Balguvachakam. Also, he is giving a nice description of his face, that your eyebrows are very beautiful, your eyes is very attractive, and also your hairs are very long and scattered all around. And from that beautiful face, very nice words are coming out. Balguvachakam. So Prabhupada described Balguvachakam, having words very sweet to hear. So he is expecting that sweet word from that kind of mouth. That kind of face. Please show me. Please raise your head and show me your face. So this is the condition of a bewildered living entity. Srila Prabhupada, he goes on describing in his purport that how in Bhagavad Gita it is explained that the attraction causes the living entity to fall down in this material world. There is a description in the Bhagavad Gita. Then he quotes this verse, Ichha dvesha samuthena dvanda mohena bharata. He is addressing Arjuna, he is saying, living entities are born into delusion. Truly conditioned living beings are born into delusion from the beginning. It's not that after he is born, he is deluded. Of course, after he is born, he is more deluded. There is one, actually, in this verse, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, he says, sometimes devotees ask this question, that when did this condition state begin for me? How did I fall down here? He says, this is where you can understand, Sarge Janti Parantapa. At the time of birth, at that time only, he is born with this delusion. Means, whatever impressions he had in his previous life, he is born with those kind of impressions. Now this is going to start his conditional life. It's not that after he is born, then everything starts. No, the previous impressions are there in his mind. Now he is born into the delusion. So now his further delusion will begin. Sarge janti parantah. So then what happens? Sammoha. They become bewildered. To explain this section, we can see again from Bhagavad Gita. Actually, before going to Bhagavad Gita, there are some more explanation given by Hansa Avatar of the Lord. One time, sons of Brahma, they were inquiring from Hansa Avatar. So while speaking about the agnostic philosophy, actually he is trying to refute this agnostic philosophy, then Hansa says, "My dear sons, the mind has a natural proclivity to enter into the material sense objects. And similarly, the sense objects enter into the mind. But both this material mind and the sense objects are merely designations that cover the spirit soul, who is part and parcel of me." So now you can understand. When we are born into delusion, our mind is automatically attracted to the object of the senses. He says it enters into the mind. Sense objects enter into the mind. And mind also has a natural attraction towards sense objects. Now you can understand how intimately connected mind and sense objects. So then they, you know, become further implicated with sense enjoyment. In further explaining this context in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Yatato hyapi kaunteya purusasya vipaschita indriyani pramathini haranti prasadham mana." He is telling Arjuna, "Arjuna, you try to understand, it is very, very difficult to carve the senses. Because even these senses are so attached to the sense objects that vipaschita, those who are full of discrimination, trying to control their mind, even they become attracted by the sense objects." That means it is a non-denying fact that being born in this material world as a conditioned soul, attraction towards sense objects is natural. There are so many instances in the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and other, you know, pastimes we can see. Just like in the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can see this junior Haridas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to know the condition of this junior Haridas, then he wanted to teach him the lesson. What did he say? He said, "Haridas, durbar indriya kare visay grahan darabi prakriti hare munerapi mam. Don't think you are very highly elevated. You can just do whatever you want to do. Try to understand this. Durbar indriya kare visay grahan. The senses are so stubborn. They are so adhered to the objects of their enjoyment, that darabi prakriti, even if a wooden doll is beautifully decorated like a beautiful young girl, that can even attract the mind of a muni, those who have knowledge." So Haridas, don't think. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by using junior Haridas, he is giving us an indication that never ever try to put so much faith on your senses. they will definitely pull you down. So, again, in Manu Sangita, it is said, right? Matra sasra dohitrava na vivikta sanavavet balavan indyat brahma vidyang samapikarsati. Over again, in Shastra, it is explained that how one should not sit even closely with one's mother, daughter and sister, because the senses are very strong, very strong. Balavan indyat brahma vidyang samapikarsati. Vidwan. Then it can cause a learned person to fall down. So that is why when we see all these descriptions of the scripture, definitely we have to take caution about how we can protect ourselves. At the same time, we have to do something. Just if we think like a yogi, okay, I can control my senses, I can do like this, I have to do like that, that is not enough. So Prabhupada, that's why he gives a very nice description. He says that without engaging the mind in Krishna, one cannot cease such material engagements. Without being fully engaged in Krishna conscious activities, it is impossible for one to become free, to remain free from such kind of material engagements. So then normally question arises, yes, we have been hearing this so many times, we have to be Krishna conscious, we have to engage ourselves in the service of the Lord, and we have been doing this. So still sometimes there are some incidences. So what is the next? There is nothing next. This is end. But the point is, we have to understand it, how to do it, right? Sometimes we may do it in a wrong way. That is why in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Rupa Goswami in Prayag continuously for 2 months. He is discussing with him, and at one point, this topic came up. Then he is saying that while he is explaining Krishna, ke ami keno amai jare tapatra iha nahi jani kemo nahi tahoy, I do not know who am I, why am I born here, I do not know what is good for me, what is beneficial for me. Then in that context, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explains to him, and he comes to a point, he says that, okay, ke ami, you are the servant of the Lord. This is the answer. Jivya Surukwe Nitya Krishna Das. Keno ami amai jare tapatray. Why am I afflicted in the threefold miseries of this material world? Then answering, he says, Krishna bhuli seiji banadi bahirmukh ataye mayatare dehi sangsardu. These living entities, they have turned their face away from Krishna. That is how they are suffering in this material world. Okay, this is the answer. So then, kya ami keno amai jar yaha nahi jani kemo nahi tahoy. So how, what is good for me? I do not know. Please tell me. Oh, you want to know what is good for you? Okay, your good is sadhu shastra kripai jadi Krishna unmuk hoy sei jeev nistare maya tahare chhadoy. Now you understand your position. You are afflicted by Maya. So, sadhu shastra kripa, by the mercy of sadhu, saintly personalities, and shastra, means scripture, if one gets the good fortune of turning his face towards Krishna, that living entity will become free from the bondage of Maya. Okay, now, the point is, sadhu shastra kripai jodi Krishna unmukh hai. So how to become Krishna unmukh? Again, that is why this particularly, instead of saying guru shastra kripai jodi, it says sadhu shastra kripai jodi Krishna unmukh hai. Means, sadhu can be my own spiritual master, sadhu can be some other devotees of the Lord. That is why a general statement is given, sadhu. Here the first, not shastra, first sadhu. Adau sraddha, how sraddha comes in the association of the devotees, right? When we go and associate with the devotee, we take part in kirtan, then sraddha, that faith arises. So that association or sadhu is very important here. So sadhu shastra kripa jadi krishna unmukhay. When we associate with the sadhu, sadhu will tell us how we can turn our face towards Krishna, means how we can engage our senses in the service of the Krishna. Even the service to the Lord is the ultimate, and that is the only way. But still, the scientific approach is go through your spiritual master, go through a central personality, ask him, he will guide you. And then, sometimes, maybe I don't know how many of you have ever experienced this, especially in Bengal and in Bangladesh, it is very popular. There are so many central personalities. People think they are central personalities. They go to them, then what is next? They are in a very critical situation. They do not know what is good for them. They do not understand what this sadhu is saying, whether this is ultimate for me or not. But still, since they have faith to the process and to the sadhu, that is where they are blindly following the sadhu. That's why shastra is Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Mahaprabhu says, sadhu shastra kripa. Not only just listen to the sadhu, what the sadhu is saying, is it coming in accordance with shastra, or this sadhu is saying something of his own? Ask him, my dear sir, just now you explained to me like this, can you give me any reference to your talk? Srila Prabhupada, when he came to West, even though the devotees in those days, initial days, they didn't understand what Prabhupada was talking about. Sometimes he would just, you know, quote a Sanskrit text, right? He would quote sometimes Sanskrit text. Why he would quote the Sanskrit text? Because he wanted to establish the authority of scripture. You try to understand, I am not just speaking from my mind, I am speaking from authority by following shastra. So similarly, so that's why it is said, sadhu shastra kripa. So shastra kripa will follow when sadhu speaks what is in shastra. So sadhu and shastra has to go together. It will not contradict. So then what will happen? Saijiv nistare maya tahare chhadai. So that is why Prabhupada has given such a nice society where we can come together and we can associate with each other, we can share with each other's experience. And like, this is like, I was thinking, you know, in construction, this ISKCON Sadhu Sangha is like that. They have if they want to build an arch with bricks, it's very difficult to bring two bricks together just like that. That's why they use one kind of wire as a force to hold these two bricks together. So that's a way actually. Then, even though it is practically impossible to build an arch with bricks, normally we see with RCC they, you know, build arches, but with the bricks also you can build arch dome. So similarly, even though it seems like impractical to become free from the attraction of this alluring energy of the Lord, but still, this is how, if we try to remain intact by the sadhu sangha, that can be possible. That is not impossible. So, Srila Prabhupada, then he gives a nice explanation about his situation, that how he is totally free from such kind of attractions of this world. I think many of you know, when Srila Prabhupada was giving Bhagavatam class, then he quoted this verse, how a very elevated acharya like Jamuna Acharya, he prays to the Lord, since his mind is attracted to the nectarian narration of the Lord, he spits at the thought of this sex desire. When Srila Prabhupada spoke about it, actually he speaks. Actually Srila Prabhupada did that. Now you can understand, he said, I spit at the thought, Jamunacharya is saying. And when Prabhupada is speaking, he spit at the thought actually. In practical, he did that. That means we can understand this, how powerful this Krishna consciousness movement is. So Prabhupada is very practical, and whatever he has said, whatever he has done, in a very scientific way, he has realized it personally, and he is presenting us, presenting it to us, so that we can also take benefit from. That is why he has arranged this morning and evening program, where we have 2 hours every day without fail to study Shastra, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. What is this Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita study? It says, just like there is a particular kind of wood available in the jungle that is called Aranikastha, Arani wood. That wood, when they sleep with each other, then it produces fire. So this discussion of the topics of this Supreme Personality of Godhead is like, when you are discussing, means you are, maybe same thing, we are listening over and over again. What it means? Sometimes devotees say, oh, I know, I have read this section in Bhagavatam. I know what is it about. I have understood everything. There is no need for me to go. My dear sir, Bhagavatam is not meant for becoming a very knowledgeable personality. If you want to become a good philosopher, if you want to gather a lot of knowledge, definitely you can go and read the books of your own, and what you can do? You can gather a lot of knowledge. Then what will happen? I went to visit one Karmi in Pune, and this person, he is not a devotee, Krishna conscious devotee. You know what he said? He said to me, Swamiji, anyway, he, in their language, they speak like this, you know, knowing Shastra without application is as good as Ravana. What did Ravana do? Ravana had a lot of scriptural knowledge. He was a very learned personality, but when it comes to application, he would not apply. What did he do? He stole the goddess of fortune. So that is why, if people do not follow your scripture, then there will be least effect. I said, yes, what you say is correct. So you must follow it, what you have understood. So the point is, when we come in the association of the devotees, actually we are we can see in the life of King Indradyumna. What did he do? He was a very highly elevated personality, and he had a lot of opulence. But one time he became disinterested with everything. What he is saying? I just simply want to hear about the glories of the Lord, and I want to see Lord Vishnu. In that context, this example has been given, that he wanted to hear the nectarian narration of the Lord over and over again, so that this fire can be ignited in him. That's how Lord Jagannath became manifest in this world for us. So now Rath Yatra festival is going on. Lord Jagannath is really very merciful and he is dear to the poor people. There are so many instances where Lord Jagannath had pastime with his devotees who are very poor. There was one Muslim lady. That Muslim lady was not allowed to go into the temple. Normally, that custom is still followed in Jagannath Puri. Muslims are not allowed to enter into the temple. So that Muslim lady, he would come every day and stand by the door and ask the pujari. When pujari is coming from the temple, coming out from the temple, he will ask the pujari, "My dear pujari, have you prepared nice bed for my lord? Have you put them to rest very comfortably?" Pujari would say, sometimes he would respond to her, sometimes he would ignore to her response. But this lady, without fail, every day she would come and stand next to the Singhadwar door, and she would wait for the panda to come out from the temple. She wanted to make sure that her lord is rested properly. So in this way, as she was continuously asking this question, one day this panda became very disappointed with the question. "Hey, what is this lady? Every day you are asking me the same question? You want to know whether Lord is resting properly or not? Go inside temple and find out yourself." But actually she is not allowed to go into the temple, she understands. Even though panda told her like this, but still, at the back of his mind, there was a thought ignited. "Oh, why did this lady ask me like this? Not only today, not only yesterday, for so many days she has been asking me the same question. Maybe there is something." So then, the next day, when Panda, he completed his service in the temple and he put the Lord into rest, then he came out of the temple, and as he came out, then he found that one light was following him from behind. Interesting. Then he wanted to know what is this light about and what this light is going to do. Then he started walking and light was also following with him. It came to a point where this light started circumambulating the priest, and after circumambulating the priest, it went into a house. It entered into that house. Then he saw that after that he left to his home. Next day, again as he came to the temple, he offered service to the Lord. Then after closing the temple, as he came out of the temple, this time something different happened, very wonderful. He could smell very nice fragrance following him, very beautiful smell. He can smell it, oh so nice, huh? So, but he can feel also, it's not like, no, it's following, it's going, floating. So he was kind of following this man. Then again he came to that place where it entered into the house. Oh, definitely there is something. I have to find out what is happening. So he went to the door and he knocked at the door. After a while, one lady came out of the house and she opened the door. And she started speaking very slowly. She said, "Don't speak so loudly. My Lord is sleeping inside this house. It will disturb his sleep." "Oh, who is your Lord? Who is sleeping inside?" Then she explained to him. She said, "Even though I am born in a Muslim family, I was born in Pipili. Near Puri, there is a place called Pipili. And my father used to bring me to Rath Yatra festival every year. And I was very happy to see this festival. And I was very attracted to Lord Jagannath. And one time I decided I must go to Puri and stay nearby Lord Jagannath. And I came here and I am very desirous to serve my Lord. So while he was explaining, much discussion went on between the two. Then at the end she says, "Oh, now it is time to wake them up from their sleep." Are they sleeping comfortably or not? I also want to see them. She said, "Come inside. Don't talk so loudly. Come, I will show you." Then she brought that person, Panda, inside. And Panda went inside and he saw Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. They are sleeping so nicely. Now you can see. Actually, sometimes we think, "Oh, I am serving the Lord so nicely at my home." Definitely, Lord is there. One devotee was telling me today, this time actually, I asked the devotee, I said, "Today is Rath Yatra festival, what are you doing for Lord Jagannath?" Said, "No, I am not doing anything, I am not feeling well." "Why are you not doing anything? Why are you not feeling well? Today is festival for Lord Jagannath, we should do everything for him." He said, "I am thinking today there are so much festival going on in Puri, in Mayapur and in every places. So I told them, today you go there to Mayapur or to Puri and you enjoy there. Today I am not going to do anything for you." It's very difficult to judge the sentiment of the devotees. But there are two sides actually. In one sense, maybe thinking, okay, maybe Lord will get better enjoyment there. If that kind of thought is there, you decide, whether this is correct or not. Doesn't want Lord to have lesser enjoyment by staying with him. He wanted Lord to go out of his house to have better enjoyment. In another sense, Lord is there at your house, at your home. What are you doing for the Lord? Why can't you prepare something for the Lord? So we have to understand, when Lord is there, he is coming here to our house in deity form. Even though we cannot see the Lord with our material eyes, but still Lord is so merciful, he has made himself manifest before us so that we can glance through our material eyes. We can serve him with our material senses. We should take that advantage. So it's very important to serve the Lord. This is the essence, that when we engage in the service of the Lord, we engage all our senses, then one day, by his mercy, again, we should not become overconfident. "Oh, I am doing devotional service. Now my senses will be under control. I will be successful in my journey." Understanding is, we have to serve the Lord. At the same time, we have to fully remain dependent upon him, just like a small baby is in the hand of its father. Father is giving all sorts of protection. Even though baby is sometimes smiling, moving his hands and legs, giving pleasure to the father. Similarly, even though we are serving the Lord, we are trying to please him, we are at his hand, securely situated, but never ever we think that, "Oh, I am protected on my own. I am successful on my own." We have to remain dependent on his mercy. If he sends his mercy, then he will save us. Otherwise, it is impossible for us to be perfect or successful in our attempt to control the senses. Thank you all very much. Whatever we have discussed, Any confusion, doubt, or some question? Anybody like to ask? Okay. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samabeta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hari Hari Om.